minus 15 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
I jump into another conversation here with Joel. He's got some exciting new news on his career and some really fascinating information on heat pumps and hybrid systems. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Net Zero to Hero podcast. It's been a while, and I want to hear what you're up to, because you're not doing the same thing you were last time we chatted.
Well, thanks so much for having me again. I absolutely enjoyed my last time here. Well, what I've been up to is I did leave my old employer, Vision Mechanical, and what happened was I went to a home builder. They offered me the world to do high performance mechanical design in-house and project management. It was an absolute great experience. I got to be on the other side of actually working with a home builder and actually other HVAC companies doing mechanical design. It was absolutely eye-opening to work with people in my industry, but from a different perspective. But what happened was the builder I was working with didn't have his regular HVAC contractor, who was me. He said, "Joel, you know what? Start your own company. I want you to do my HVAC for us still." But sadly, you opened that door and it turned into, Joel started his company again and my phone didn't stop ringing. And then we just went full time with my new company called Patton Heating and Air, and we specialize in carbon neutrality, high performance HVAC systems. And it's been, I think we're on our 10th month, and it's not slowing down by any means. So,
you know, I'm not surprised to hear that it's full speed ahead for you. I mean, first of all, you care. I mean, your customer service is fantastic. You can communicate with homeowners. I know that I've talked with homeowners that I've referred to you. They've been very happy, pleased. So it's just fun. It's fun to hear your business is succeeding. And what an interesting journey to find yourself in that seat you're in now. It's
you know, your new company. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And I will say with my short time with Lux Quality Homes out Kelowna, it was a great learning experience. And it actually just gave me more education actually on hand to really know a whole home solution for HVAC, and knowing from the actual builder to the mechanical. It was it's just been wonderful, and now full steam ahead, as you said, and we're trucking along very well.
So, you know, I wanted to talk to you today about heat pumps, and then specifically retrofitting heat pumps or designing new homes with putting high performance heat pumps, because I mean, you introduced me to cold climate air source heat pumps, but that's where I wanted to go with this. But I also want to go, okay, so you worked for a builder and you started working with other mechanical contractors you were on the other side of the table working with your peers in the industry. I actually really want to know, what was that like for you, and what did you see as kind of the general feel of the mechanical contractors that you were working with?
Well, it's a great question. I will tell you, it was when I got in reception back from other mechanical contractors was very good. The thing that comes along with that position I was doing was I had to stop wearing my HVAC hat, and I had to start wearing my working for a builder hat, and realizing that not everyone's certain way of doing HVAC is the same. So it was a little bit of hitting heads with some of them, saying this is how I want it done. But then finally, after, I said, well, no, there's many ways to do it, and we were finding ways. To be honest, everyone I worked with was great. We did all the mechanical designs, so I would do it in-house. I would send them out to quote. They would quote based on what I did, so my design, my equipment. And it actually turned into a great thing, but it was quite interesting. It's the lack of knowledge on building envelope, building construction, that the HVAC contractors don't have. And it was quite interesting them questioning and going, oh, you know, why are we doing this? Well, this house, we're anticipating 1.5 air changes per hour. I've taken our pre-compliance reports for our HOT 2000, basically interpolated it into our heat loss for you. And this is how we got these numbers. And you go, oh, I didn't realize it was that integral to do all this other documentation for, you know, be it the certified energy advisor, actually had so much weight on our heat loss calculations, our ventilation, and of course our building envelope, which is our largest contributor to sizing heat pumps. So yeah, it's quite interesting.
It is the appropriately sized heating and cooling systems that is, it is based on air changes per hour, not just the size of your home. If you have an airtight large home or a leaky small home, you know, like it totally skews the sizing.
Absolutely. It all comes down to building envelope, the windows that you use, the doors that you use. It absolutely. The tighter your air changes per hour, the more effective a heat pump's going to be. And what's going to happen, as I said in our last time together, is that we have a glass jar effect. So we have to look at it. The tighter a building envelope, you have this glass jar. The heat is now, the solar heat gain is coming into that home, but because that's so tight, it's not expelling out of our envelope. So what we're seeing is lower heat losses, which is then accommodating very good for a heat pump that may max out at 60,000 BTUs. But we actually are seeing the cooling load raise higher. So I just did a wonderful home here in Summerland. I did mechanical design for B Fair Builds on Summerland, an amazing young gentleman that's doing some pretty out-of-the-box thing. He actually had this 1,000-square-foot home on stilts. It actually came out to a BTUs for heat loss of 12,000 BTUs, but his actual heat gain, and so sizing of air conditioning, was larger at over 14,000. So it was actually a very good example of the heat loss was lower, your actual solar heat gain was higher, creating that your sizing for cooling over heating. So very cool stuff with that one.
Yeah, and so this is, you know, net zero to hero is like the zero part is where I started, right? So this is fascinating information as we move down this journey, realizing that so many of our housing systems are interlinked. And really, the person that installs your windows and does the air sealing around your windows, not just the quality of, I bought a really nice window, but the person that literally puts it in the rough opening and then seals it shut around, and then before they put their air barrier membranes on, that person affects your job as the heating and cooling contractor based on what the energy advisor modeled the home from a sizing perspective, projecting heat loss. It's all interconnected.
Completely. And I always will say what my old football coach used to say, you know, you got 12 people on the field, you got one, you know, if you have 11 out of 12 doing their job, you're never going to score. You have 12 out of 12 doing their jobs, you're always going to score. So you're as only fast as your slowest player. So all trades that are putting any penetration through the walls, your contractor, your windows, everything, all contribute to that air changes per hour, which contributes to a much better working mechanical system. So it's not just the mechanical contractor anymore that makes a difference. It's everyone that's on your team and building a home.
You know, this is why if somebody ever asked me, hey, can you go out and price, get multiple bids for a project? The answer is no. I know who I'm going to work with before the project begins. And really, that's not going to change because the site training is so critical. Just to get a flow.
You know what? And a lot of builders are coming towards your mindsets. Now, we've still got many that, you know, you've still got a quote out because I will say our industry is a vast and varied. But a lot of contractors and a lot of builders are starting to go, this gentleman knows how to do this very well. This gentleman does this. You know, we're looking, again, monetary value is always a big crucial factor of our new home constructions, and budgets always have to be met. But we're finding that builders are looking at spending the couple bucks more on the guys that they enjoy and trust, and they're getting much better products. And at the end of the day, those rebates on step code, right, are step 3, 4, and 5. They're all dictated by those air changes and your performance. So, you know, you have to have the right team to get the right performance so you're getting that monetary value back.
Well, and my angle on the industry from where my primary business is the cost of not meeting your expectations or where it doesn't work out properly can be sizable on the retrofits, like remedial side of the thing. And I remember even just telling me a story. We're talking on the phone. And you're like, our mechanical contractor put a corrugated pipe through the exterior wall. And it's so hard to air seal something that's corrugated versus how they put a straight pipe through.
Completely, right? And again, materials that you use. And it's so funny to say when you don't meet those air changes, it costs money. And again, a very good friend of mine, Sebastian Mortaro, who owns Aero Barrier in Kelowna. He also was Luxury Edwards West Homes. You know, amazing gentleman. But he is business of Aero Barrier is probably about 25 to 50% where contractors haven't met those air changes for step three. And they're calling him going, Sebastian, we need to use Aero Barrier to seal this. And you know what? It's a great thing that he offers. It does a really good job. But of course, you're paying for those mistakes by his services. And again, it's almost like doing the job twice, right? So it's quite Lovely. Interesting, right? So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that interlude. That's just great context because that's real deal for people that are thinking of building a home, also picking contractors on the retrofit side. So we've talked about cold climate air source heat pumps. They work in cold climates like Canada, which is awesome. So we can now reliably use a really efficient electrically powered heating and air conditioning unit, a heat pump. You talked about how Mitsubishi really patented the technology. They've outsourced licensed the patents to American Standard. So we have some options. But I want to know how to plug this into my home. You know, if I got an old home with a gas furnace and I'm like, Joel, help me. I want to get more efficient. I want to maybe put solar panels on my roof that can actually power my heat pump. What does that process look like?
Well, I'm going to just first start off with a little caveat. This might get a little controversial because it is so interesting when it comes to retrofits and heat pumps. Yeah. So in Mitsubishi, so Tosot, it was the other company made by Gree, was who teamed up with American Standard. Mitsubishi is still the king of ultra heat pumps. But it's interesting as we're going through, many amazing companies coming out with great systems. That being said, so you're going to tell me, Joel, I want to put a heat pump in my home. Well, here's the thing. If I do 10 quotes for heat pumps, did you know that I'll turn down almost 6 to 7, maybe quote 3 and maybe get 2 or 1? Now, why would I turn down, you know, somebody that wants to spend all this money on a heat pump? Well, they're trying to put a heat pump in their 1956 home that's got all original windows and pretty much newspaper for insulation. And what's going to happen is, and they may have air changes of increased of 3+. Now, here's the thing. We just talked about how heat pumps and tighter building envelope create lower heat loss. My goal when we do retrofits is not just, will a heat pump make you happy? Will a heat pump be making you happier on carbon neutrality? But it's also, are you going to be happy with the equipment we install? There is an upfront cost that we have to take into consideration when you purchase, but what about run cost? And I will actually, a lot of clients that have older homes, I will say to them, I would recommend looking at the rebates to start looking at your building envelope and your windows and insulation values before I would jump into a heat pump. And that is because I don't want to get the call on December 24th at -30, they're saying, Joel, my heat pump's not keeping up. My bills are $700 a month. You told me this was going to be more efficient than my electric baseboard. Right. What it is I'm trying to make sure that when we install a heat pump in these technologies, that their overall experience will always be positive. And sadly, if you start just putting heat pumps into everything and houses that aren't fully equipped for them, well, you may start getting a very bad taste in your mouth when you see that monthly bill. That being said, as you said, I'm looking at doing solar panels. I want to look at other ways to offset my carbon footprint. Now, if you have a client coming in that's going, I'm going to go and I'm going to do solar panels, they're going to want to do a heat pump, they're already typically looking at doing their building envelope. They've already done it. So it's one of those things that when we look at retrofits, it's not just the equipment we look at. We're looking at a whole home solution at building envelope, construction, and everything in between.
Well, thank you for actually, so what I hear you saying is really go, Brandon, really nice idea. You want to put a heat pump in your old home, but the problem is it's leaking so much air that your heat pump's going to be working on turbo boost mode to try to keep up, which means it's outside of its operating zone of efficiency. And the result of that is it's going to be overworked and it's going to be burning more electricity than your oversized, outdated utilities already are. And if the air changes and the insulation aren't addressed, really, it doesn't make sense to power the house with a heat pump is what I hear you saying.
Completely. And again, every home is different. at the end of the day, and there's always solutions that we can look for to build better efficiency and equipment. But I look at it on two different scales. I look at it, is this what you need for your home out there? But I also look at it, how am I going to preserve my trade and also the name of heat pumps so people can start looking at carbon neutrality in the future and say, you know what, Joel Pant installed this wonderful heat pump system for me in a retrofit application. You know what? We did all these building envelope changes and it's doing wonderful. We're seeing a 25% reduction in our utility bills over our thermal resistant electric heating, so electric furnace. Wonderful. What I don't want to hear is Joel Patton put this heat pump in my older home with not telling me anything, but it's more efficient. And then I get this scary bill for $600 in a month.
Well, and Joel, I'm gonna add just a parallel detail to that is sometimes people want to replace their air conditioning unit. It's time to update utilities. They go from the old, non-efficient 1970s, 1980s, and they buy actually a brand new Energy Star efficient air conditioner. And then the next thing they do next summer is they go make their windows and their walls more airtight because they upgrade all that. Now, all of a sudden, they have an oversized air conditioner for a rather airtight home. And they end up creating complications with their mechanical system there because it cools the house down, but it doesn't dehumidify it. And you have a cold, clammy home because you're, in that sense, all of a sudden your air conditioner is oversized because it's expecting your house to leak a little more.
Well, yeah. So at the end of the day, it's completely right. So it's actually quite interesting where with clients, when I go and say, you say, hey, Joel, I'd like to get a quote. I don't actually ask. I usually ask, what is your 5-year plan with your home? What are you planning for renovation? Because every minute detail does affect sizing. So if someone's going to go and say, hey, you know what? My equipment's old. I'm going to put in some new stuff. But my actual goal is I'm going to be doing exterior insulation, some new windows. And right now I have, you know, newspaper in my attic at R1 and I'm going to throw in some R50. Well, that all together will say, hey, you know what, we are going to, because now if your building envelope's getting tighter, that means that you're going to have a higher requirement for air conditioning because that heat can escape. So we may say, well, currently you're good for a 2-ton. We're just going to bring you up to a 2.5-ton. You're going to have a little bit of short cycling for that year while you're doing it. But in the overall, you're going to be much happier once your renovations are completed. And that is stuff that you want to ask people, because it's not just what they're doing now, it's what they're going to be doing in the future. And if anyone is like me, I got plans upon plans with my homes, and sometimes budgets just don't meet what I can do in a year. So I'm picking off, you know, those certain items. And a lot of people say, my HVAC's more important than me doing my windows right now because I like being air conditioned in the Okanagan.
So I'm going to ask you a question that a client asked me and I didn't have an answer for it, which is actually why I'm like, I need to get in touch with Joel again. And this is why we're on this podcast right now. So again, I serve as an energy advisor for some clients and brought me in, and he wanted to replace his windows, and he went through the process of getting the Canada Greener Homes grant. And he put in triple pane windows in his home. He talked to me, double pane, triple pane. We talked triple pane. He went and did it. And I did the after, you know, the post retrofit audit, showed up and he said, Brandon, thanks for the windows. They're great. And, you know, the sound deadening's there and it's all the good stuff. Like, it's just, it's a better experience. But then he's like, but what about my furnace? I got a gas furnace and it's actually decent. I replaced it like 4 years ago, but I'd like to do heat pump. Like, I think it's better. And I think I can't recall, did he say he maybe want to do the solar panels on the roof? He's again thinking the phasing of his home. And he said, Brandon, can I put a heat pump in my home? And I said, yeah, you can. I mean, you talk to a mechanical contractor for that. But he said, can I do it? And can I keep my furnace, gas furnace, as a backup? And I'm like, legitimate question.
100%. Now, you know what? That is an absolute wonderful walk into dual fuel. So in the Okanagan, I do a lot of dual fuel. And at the end of the day, if you have a gas furnace that is in relatively, we're going to say good condition. You know, we prefer high efficient, but I have done some where they sold mids and I got her to work and make sure it's doing well. You can do it. You can add a heat pump to any furnace, but it has to be the right heat pump. So a lot of heat pumps in high SEER are communicating systems where you have to have the matching indoor unit to the matching outdoor unit. So you typically, if they don't match, they don't work. So you're replacing both. But there are some amazing products out there, such as Tosot. They make the Apex product that can be controlled with any low voltage 24 volt system, meaning that it ties into your R, G, Y, C, O, B, everything. So it can be retrofitted into any
furnace. I don't know what that is. R, G, O, Y, B.
Those are your thermostat calls. So R is for heat, Y okay. is for cooling, G is for bad. And so they're ran by a low voltage 24 volt system. So this brings up an absolutely interesting conversation I just had it with a client. So they have an old furnace that got decommissioned, but they want to do the dual fuel. But they got quotes from other contractors, and every contractor is quoting communicating pieces of equipment. They're quoting very expensive equipment at that. And, but then they're dangling the FortisBC rebates in front of everyone and the Green Home rebates. And but here's the thing. Some of their quotes were in excess of $30,000, $20,000, and $16,000. And then here's the problem. So if you get those three quotes, you're going, I'm not going to go with the lowest because, well, if he's 16 grand, my highest is 30. Well, I'm going to meet in the middle because, well, yeah, I think this guy's got what it takes and he's not going high or low. But here's the thing. With, say, $7,000 in rebates, $5,000 from our Greener Homes and $2,000 from our FortisBC, that actually equates to what? $13,000 out of pocket, but you're saving that $7,000. Well, these wonderful people were like, Joel, is there another solution? I said, there's always another solution. Guess what we did? We went and found a beautiful, just nice American standard S9B2 furnace. It was their VS model, so it's a 97% two-stage. We've teamed it up with the new baby that Tosot and American Standard have made called their Quest unit. It's an American Standard Quest. It is a negative 30 cold climate air source heat pump that can be attached to any low voltage 24 volt system, so that basically the system became now non-rebatable because it's non-matching because it doesn't have an AHRI, but it came out to $13,000. And yeah, they get a unit that has higher ratings at the negative 30. They got a 97% furnace. And at the end of the day, we went and exceeded their expectation by the monetary value being at the same price as this $20,000 system. And they are actually getting better efficiency. They're getting a better dual fuel because now they're 97% efficient, not even 96. And again, are the rebates in this case, would they have been beneficial? Yes. But in the case of this one, we are able to meet and exceed and still meet the same monetary value if they were going to get a rebate.
Yeah, I actually see what you did. It's a bit of you put together a couple of pieces that work to solve the problem. I also hear there's some technicalities in the wording of the grants that if the AHRI numbers don't match, it doesn't count. So there's a disqualification there, even though it's brand new, high efficiency equipment and all the stuff that it ought to apply. Okay, so that's good to know. So then if I'm thinking about operating this, just so that I'm walking this through in my mind right now, most of the year, my heat pump is going to be doing the heating and air conditioning in my home. But then there's going to be those odd days, the cold weeks that we have in the Okanagan, and then the gas furnace is going to kick on and be that boost, so I'm not running my heat pump to the ragged edge of its capacity.
Completely. And that sizing of your heat pump in a retrofit standard is also dictated by one more thing that you may not have realized. It is your ductwork sizing. It's all about airflow. And the thing is one ton of heating or cooling in a heat pump is around 400 CFM. So if your ductwork can only hold 1200 CFM based on its existing condition, you're limited to a 3-ton heat pump that's 36,000 BTUs. Your heat loss for the home, say, is, you know, say 65,000 BTUs. So that means that heat pump is going to work very well for about 80 to 90% of our heating season in the Okanagan. But we are going to then substitute in the cold weathers for that natural gas heat. And it's quite interesting as well, too, is when we get to heat pumps, we have to remember we have the COP. Do you remember that acronym from our last time?
Yes. Oh.
Well, coefficient yeah. of performance.
Performance? Yeah.
Coefficient
thank you.
Of performance. So what that
is. I was going back in the other guys.
I was having nightmares of doing all the acronyms with you last time, right? So I thought I'd give you another one. But that being said, this coefficient of performance is a ratio between how much power is used to produce that more heat. So if you have a COP of, say, 2.07, in layman's terms, it's 207% efficient. So basically what it's saying is for every kilowatt you're putting in, you're getting 2 kilowatts of heat back out. And now the thing is, though, as we get colder, that COP decreases because your BTUs decrease. So we have to look at in retrofits is that we have to remember, as it gets colder, that decreasing of BTUs or heat in kilowatts is that we have to remember that there is a very fine line of where that heat pump should be running to at a certain temperature and letting the furnace go from there. And we call that cold weather shutdown. And so when I put in a 3-ton unit, say in someone's home that they have, say, an 80,000 BTU furnace, I'm going to set that heat pump typically to around negative 10 to negative 15 as the cold weather. If it gets over negative 15, I'm going to have it on gas. That is not because the heat pump can't keep up. That's because by the time you spend all the money and that heat pump runs, spending that power, it's more cost effective at that time to use natural gas.
Totally. Backup. Yeah. And that's, I think that's really important for people to know. It's like these heat pumps are, and why I like, in concept, why I really like the heat pump is you get a multiplication of like 207% more efficient. Every watt in, you get 2.7 out. Okay. Versus 97% efficient means every watt in, you get 0.97 watts out. Like gas isn't a multiplier. Doesn't mean it's not efficient. It's just, it's not as multiplying efficient. But that zone of efficiency for heat pumps really is in this, let's call it minus 10 to plus 25 range. And outside of that, you're kind of running into the yellow red zone where it still functions, but it's not at its optimum green efficiency. And that's where I actually see you talking that the multiplication comes back down to where it actually matches gas.
Exactly. And the one thing that we have to be conscious of is thermal resistance heating or electric furnace B4 heater, they're a 1-to-1. They're a 100% efficient system, but for every watt you put in, you get 1 watt out. The closer you're getting to 1-to-1, the further you're getting away from having cheap electrical bills. So there is that, we have to be conscious. And again, it's all in the name of keeping heat pumps names good, because I don't want someone to say, we did this, it is not working, my bills are high. And it's all it is basically not making sure that the customer is aware that we are going to have a certain area that we shut this off just so that we can make sure the backup is going to be cost effective. And that's a big factor. Well,
and Joel, I think there's more to this story that isn't getting acknowledged too, because I've seen people, they want to like rip their gas furnace out and go all electric. But there's also part of me that thinks about resilience in homes. And, you know, we're on electrical grids. We see in California, the electrical grid goes down. I've seen electrical grids go down in Montreal for days on end in an ice storm. And it's times like that where if you're fully electric in your home, I love the green concept, but I would be wishing I had a gas furnace. Just to keep the heat on in kind of those critical moments that you're not planning for, we're not hoping for, but just to, like, keep the gas furnace that you have from the 1990s, don't throw it out, but there's ways to integrate it as almost like a backup system.
Yeah. So redundancy is a big factor. And this power outage is a very good example, because it doesn't matter if you have an electric furnace or a gas furnace, you still need power to run the blower. So a redundancy, So, but again, we talked about this last time, is what is the best way to have a backup source of heat when you have no power? Sadly, it is our good friend, the fireplaces, the natural gas fireplaces with battery backup, because they're now all hot surface ignition. So it's no more, you don't see many more standing pilots. And those were where you have the battery backup. When you lose power, you're still able to get a natural gas flame, which is going to radiate some heat into the home. Now, a lot of people in our high performance world, fireplaces are a bad name. They're leaky.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I think that's one of the tensions that I have in the world of, I'm pro-electric. I like what it does. I also think we're not in a world yet. If you're in West Kelowna, there's a single electrical grid feed that comes over the mountains. And if there's a forest fire and those feeds get compromised, it's going to be very challenging for the homes in West Kelowna. Because in the heat of the summer and everybody's power goes out, that means their fridges aren't running and their air conditioning not running either. So not speaking doom and gloom, just being real, this is where we live. We're in the mountains, we're forested. This is just part of our climate cycle as things change, and not losing sight of the fact that there are advantages to having duplication in our systems from a resilience standpoint, especially in the extremes, because we can get cold here from time to time. So that's something that came to mind, and we're not throwing our systems in the garbage can to put heat pumps in, is what I'm trying to say.
And it's super interesting because when we talk high performance heat pumps, natural gas, I'm going to say my generation, I am a millennial, and a lot of us in the millennials are looking at more carbon neutral to help. Again, why am I doing it? I'm doing it for my kids. Why am I doing it? Because I know that, I'm not the perfect, carbon neutral man. I still drive the trucks and I have to do what I have to do. Yeah. But we're striving to try to protect our world so, our young ones can have the same experiences we did in a beautiful area. That being said, is redundancy, the location that we live in, geographical factors will always play a part in how we do our homes. Even though we want to be more carbon neutral and less carbon footprint and everything, sometimes a redundancy to protect your home is worth more than you going, hey, I'm all carbon neutral, but when the power goes out, I'm getting a diesel generator and we're going to be putting it outside and we're going to have to hook everything up. It's, lots of different things, right?
And that's why, honestly, there's part of me when I think people go, make your home airtight because that's the most energy efficiency enhancing thing you can do. Then you can do your windows and exterior insulation and all those things. Put your solar panels on. And I'm an advocate of battery packs, whether it be Tesla Powerwall or some other system, because the fact is that when the sun's shining, you got your solar generating at night. That doesn't work the same way. So having, like you're saying, if the electrical grid goes down, well, you still need electricity to do your furnace to run the blower. Well, if you have a battery pack, you can still run your furnace, a gas-powered furnace. And just there's more options, I'm saying, because that's why I'm a fan of battery packs. But I'm wondering, Joel, do we have time to talk about ductless mini splits?
Oh, we have time to talk whatever you would like to. Before we go there, I was going to talk to you one more thing about heat pump redundancy. And that is, so I'm actually in an interesting, I don't know if you're following the A-Frame on Instagram. It is Todd Talbot from Loverless Vancouver's newest project of a wonderful net zero home in West Kelowna. It's an A-Frame on stilts. It's incredible. But I'm working with Todd on how we're doing his heat pumps. He doesn't require backup heat, so full electric heat pumps. But here's the thing. I'm striving for him to have the upstairs on one heat pump and at one condenser, and the downstairs on a separate heat pump and condenser, or you could just do it all in one. Now, I'm asking for redundancy in his home, because if the upstairs something happens, you still have heat in the basement with your heat pump, or vice versa. When you do just one heat pump doing the whole home, and if you're not even at power failure, but say serviceability, remember, these are just like cars. I just broke down in the middle of Vancouver on Monday, and out of the blue, your heat pump can do the same thing. So that being said, is you got to, when doing these homes on redundancy, even in heat pumps and new construction, always remember, look for the worst case scenario. And it might be a decision of putting two heat pumps that are smaller so you have that redundancy. But honestly, if you have time, look at the A-Frame. You will absolutely love it.
Okay. Good. I like that. Yeah. Especially on stilts. I'm curious about building homes on stilts because I think it's a little bit more respectful, not a little bit, a lot more respectful to the land that we're, like the planet Earth. You don't have to gouge it out to stuff your home into it. Stilts, I mean, if you ever think down the future, if you want to rehabilitate the land, you simply need to pull the auger holes out of the ground, and the land is as it was. And I think that's a respectful way to build.
100%.
And there's some high performance advantages there.
Well, it's interesting too, because that redundancy factor just isn't even for, you know, when power goes out. You got to look at serviceability and needs. Yeah, but even talking to those steel homes too, the amount of engineering that has to go into them boggles my mind, and I do not want to build one personally, because they're pretty incredibly, it's pretty incredible. But ductless splits, what's on your mind?
Okay, because so we talk about heat pumps, and so what I'm picturing in my mind is the big air conditioning style unit that's parked outside, that's cycling through the air, and it's sending heating and cooling fluid into my furnace and sending it around. But there's a lot of, I was on the American Standard website, and you got cassettes, you got wall mounted units, and it looks like they're running hydraulic lines, which lines with fluid, into different zones of your home. You can almost have different bedrooms with different conditioning sets. I think the worst case scenario, these are the cheap hotels that I've stayed in, and underneath the window was this giant juggernaut of a machine that rattled all night long, whether it be heating or cooling. But ductless mini splits are a way to send the efficiency of a heat pump throughout your house without running ductwork. Am I interpreting that right?
Completely. Actually, ductless splits are probably one of the most versatile heat pumps on the market. And you can actually do a ductless split with a fan coil that attaches ductwork. You can do the in-ceiling cassettes that fit between 22.5-inch centers for your trusses, so you don't have to see them on the walls. And of course, you got your high walls and you got your floor cassettes. They are super adaptable to any way that you want to go. And typically, we call them ductless splits because you don't do ductwork. And typically as well, you can get them in higher SEER ratings. Right now, Carrier has a 24 SEER heat pump that's amazing, one of the highest SEERs on the market. Mitsubishi, one of their hyperheats is like 35 SEER. And that's because, and usually on single zone systems, you usually can get higher SEER and higher efficiency ratings out of them. They are so versatile, it's amazing.
So, and acronyms, SEER, Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio?
You got it.
Yeah, that's one point. I'm proud of myself for that one. Yeah, pulling that one right out of the old Energy Advisor textbook. From a couple of years ago. So these are things, if somebody, okay, again, thinking about the retrofit, I think there's a lot of existing infrastructure. People are considering going to heat pumps. They want to get the advantages of them from the heating and the cooling, because some of these old homes are hot, especially as we get hotter summer days, and they want to add some supplemental heating upstairs. Can they do that with a ductless mini split or splits in a retrofit?
100%. The one thing that works really well is ductless splits for retrofits. There's a couple reasons why. One is because with a ductless split, you're running only line sets to an interior head of some sort, be it a high wall head or a cassette, even a ducted fan coil or whatever you want. But typically what happens is when you're doing those renovations, you are going to have the line sets on an exterior wall in a line set cover because you can't mount them inside. Yeah. But typically what we can do is get them into attics. And because, remember, heat pump lines are insulated on both the liquid and suction line, so your heat loss is a little less from those pipes. You also can bury them within the attic insulation. And from there, if you're doing cassettes, they're coming right into your attic and you're able to get it right there without much for renovation or drywall repair. High wall heads are a little bit different, of course, because they're usually mounted on walls. So some clients, they just like, hey, Joel, I don't care about a little line set cover and the line set being exposed, surface mounted. Some go, hey, Joel, you know what? We're going to cut out some drywall for you for the little strip, put it in. They're much easier to renovate and retrofit into homes. The only downside, of course, is with any ductless split, air conditioning produces condensate water at the indoor head, meaning that you'll have to pump usually the water with a condensate pump to a drain of some sort. So typically it's not getting the line sets and getting the head where you want it. It's trying to get the appropriate drainage to where it needs to be without causing any water going where you don't want it to be, as well to making sure you're not putting it, you know, in places where it can get damaged. Nice thing about ductless splits, where a lot of people do, is they do just put the drainage out to the exterior, because you're only producing that water in the summer on air conditioning. So it's never going to have the chance to freeze in unconditioned space.
It's perfect. I like that because I think there's a real shift in the climate of the people that I'm having conversations with. People are going to, they want to figure out how to do these retrofit activities well. But my experience is that if people don't consider kind of the context of installing these high performance systems into their whole home, they can bump into problems they didn't anticipate. And today you brought up some really good points on just going heat pump, for example. If your home isn't efficient as a system, you're going to be redlining your heat pump and your electrical bill isn't going to be what the sticker said it should be. And you've given some really good guidance as to how people can avoid that with their existing infrastructure or putting together some smart pieces where the manufacturers have made their systems a little more universal to work with others, which I really appreciate, actually. You don't have to spend the 30 grand to redo everything.
Well, that's the big thing. And, you know, American Standard, I talk about Train American Standard because that's been my brand. It was my dad's brand. I really love them. They have some amazing things where their communicating systems, they actually make a relay module that works with their basic furnaces. So you don't have to buy the communicating furnace. You can just buy a relay to like communicate. And, but yeah. Again, when you buy a communicating heat pump, and I'll be honest with you, the 19th year American Standard heat pump, you know, when I'm selling it for, it could be $8,000 to $10,000 for that outdoor heat pump. I might be actually selling, say, the Tosot or the American Standard Quest, which is a universal heat pump, might be closer to $5,000 or $7,000. And it's quite interesting is that a lot of people love shiny and technology, but as I say in the CHPA when I was educating and doing stuff, is that it is sometimes better to have dumb equipment with smart controls such as an ecobee5 thermostat, Honeywell T10, these smart thermostat that are controlling these equipment to what they need to be, because it's taking all your interior condition in the home and saying, this is what we need you to do. And this equipment just knows, yes, sir, let's turn it on and we'll get it going for you. Sometimes we get into the communicating heat pumps with communicating air handlers. Sometimes technology does get the best of you and you do have sometimes a little bit more issues. I'll tell you, I just had my new truck had an update over the air, and somehow an update for my head player where it's got all my nav and everything, completely took out my engine hours on my brand new truck and went right to zero. That same technology issue does happen to our communicating systems as well, where something uploading glitches. And then you're now fighting technology where, you know what, sometimes best go dumb equipment, smart controls, you get a more solid system.
You know, there's so much to be said about that. As we make things smart, sometimes analog works. Just flip the switch on and off. It doesn't need to change colors and tell me. Have a nice day. But, well, you know, Joel, you're a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate how freely you share and how you're able to interlace the attributes of your industry and others together. You know, as we wind to a close, is there anything that you would offer or suggest as guidance for people that want to approach redoing the furnace or heat pump or air conditioner in their home? Like what should they know? Because they might not be in Kelowna. They might not have a chance to call you for in-home consultation. So what would you suggest for them?
Well, you know what, at the end of the day, it'll be a touch long-winded, but there's a few concepts as a homeowner that I highly recommend looking at. First thing is contacting your local certified energy advisor. That'll be to ask them about the rebates that can be offered through Greener Homes Grant, because of course we're going to need a nice pre-assessment, blower door test, and of course our post-assessment. They also, our certified energy advisors being helpful in new construction, or wealth of knowledge in renovation, and they will be able to guide you into some of the rebate stuff. I always recommend doing that because they will also be able to tell you on that pre-retrofit what your air changes are. And if you go and you see that your air changes are 2.5 and higher, you know, the energy advisor and one that is well-versed, such as yourself and some of my great colleagues, they will say, you know what, you should be looking at these additions that are going to improve your building envelope and your windows and everything, which then are going to make your heat pump work much better. And they can give you a very solid plan of attack. So always certified energy advisor, number one. Two is when you're looking at doing a retrofit in a home to possibly a heat pump, dual fuel with heat pump or electric, do not go and say, you know what, I know American Standard, Trane, Lennox, Carrier. It's not always the big brands that give you the best performance. And sometimes when you go and you buy those big brands, such as American Standard, Bryant, Carrier, all of them, sometimes they're paying a high dollar price for an equipment that doesn't actually have sometimes the best efficiency. And a lot of our better efficient units actually come from units that are no-name brands, or they're just coming up, other than Mitsubishi and Fujitsu. Those are always good choices. But Tosot with Gree heat pumps, Tosot, they've been just blowing the market out. And again, more cost-effective equipment with better energy efficiency.
What? Okay, on the label, there's all kinds of different graphs and bars and numbers. What should they be looking at to go? If I'm comparing it to an American Standard, which is a good kind of baseline of performance, you're saying 24 SEER for that Carrier, but Tosot's coming in at 35, or Mitsubishi's coming at 30. Are they looking at SEER, or are they looking at something else? What are they evaluating?
Well, heat pumps are evaluated on a whole different HSPF, heat season performance factor, SEER, and COP. As a layman's term for any homeowner, the two that I look at are SEER, which is your seasonal energy efficiency ratio, which is a mixture of noise and how efficient it's going to be, and COP, your coefficient of performance. That is going to be how much power it uses, how much heat you come out. To be honest, at the end of the day, the COP is the most important. So you want to see that your COP at a certain temperature, say negative 15, or, you know, 5 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees Fahrenheit, or however it works, is that COP is above 2. That is saying that it's at least 200% efficient at that temperature. And the higher the SEER, of course, the higher the energy efficient that unit's going to be. That usually accommodates to usually a better COP, but not always the case. I've seen some 18 SEER units that have a better COP than, say, a 23 SEER unit. It's all based on what compressors they use, equipment and everything. But yeah, that's honestly the biggest factor. And also, there is a website that I use a lot, and it's called ashp.neep, neep.org. It is the Cold Climate Heat Pump Registry in North America. You can type in any model number that is actually a cold climate heat pump, and it comes up with very easy to understand performance factors for everything.
Wonderful. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to be a very useful resource for our listeners, because that's just, I didn't know that existed. So there, I'm just taking that in. Perfect.
It's wonderful. Any more?
Yeah. Anything else? I jumped in. There with the details, but no, I didn't want to cut you off.
Don't be. So yeah. So basically, big brands, small brands. You don't get taken in by brands, please. It's not there. The other thing is have yourself a realistic expectation, and make sure when you're talking to your mechanical contractor, you're very firm on your expectations of what you want. Remember, HVAC contractors like myself, we are salesmen. I won't call us used salesmen. We're kind of like new car salesmen, so there is a difference sometimes. But you got to remember that if you leave the window wide open for them to quote, you're typically going to pay more for something you didn't need. So making sure you're doing your research, making sure you're doing, and making sure your expectations are out there. If you want a dual fuel system, make sure that you're explaining that you want a dual fuel system. Again, my client that went around getting quotes, she says she wants dual fuel, but she's getting quotes for electric furnaces and heat pumps because they have a matching AHRI number, so that the company can say, you're going to get this amount of rebate. But again, as we've discussed, that's not always the case for the rebates.
The company, the mechanical company, gets to sell the premium electric furnace, the premium heat pump, because the HRI numbers and the government offsets some of their costs, but the mechanical contractor still gets the sale without any discounts out the door. And the homeowner often has to float that cash for a few months, because I know the energy advising, it's a slow moving train. Let's just call it that.
Completely. So that's a big factor in how it is. You have to lay out your expectation. as a homeowner, please do your due diligence. We have this beautiful thing called Google and the internet, and I can tell you I can find almost anything I need to research myself to be better. Now, the last thing I'll say is back to our Fortis and government rebates. Please know that I am so happy that the Canadian government and our provincial governments are providing kickback to us to help us become greener and put in better equipment and be more energy efficient. But please, please, please do not take that monetary value and think that that is always going to be the best route to go. Because at the end of the day, if you have an older home and you're trying to use those rebates so you can be carbon neutral, or you want to be this certain way and you're trying to use those to offset the cost, but your home requires more upgrades and building envelope windows than this, please, you know, look at your home as a whole building. And remember, you should always do the walls, the windows, the attic, and make sure those are up to snuff before you start looking at full mechanical systems. Because at the end of the day, I've heard this many times, it's great to see money coming back from the government and taxes that you pay, but sometimes it can be a detriment. And you can't look at just upfront costs. You have to look at run costs. And run costs is far more important, because for 20 years, you may be paying that run cost every month, and it'll be a lot more than what you pay upfront for the equipment. So it's a big factor.
Yeah, Joel, I think you touched on another really important consideration, is sometimes that rebate sticker isn't where you should start when you consider the whole package. And you had mentioned earlier about that 5-year plan for your home, and where you sequence things in matters. And you shouldn't be chasing the grant money when you consider your $1 million investment at this point. If you're in BC, your home is essentially worth $1 million. It's like it's a sizable cost, but it's also something worth investing in. And you're really stuck with your decisions in this case for a quarter century or more. You know, you think windows or siding, it's even longer. So yeah, taking the time really does matter.
It really does. And yeah, and you know, it's human nature to say, hey, I'm going to get this money back, and you know, this is a great deal. But also, at the end of the day, HVAC companies are salesmen. They're going to say to you, you're going to get this rebate. And you know, sometimes I do believe that there's some unethicalness that does happen in my trade. But just remember, at the end of the day, that rebate doesn't always mean you're going to get the best system and the matching system. There are many alternative ways that you can go. And you know what? There is great equipment out there. And all it is a quick search of Google. And sometimes it'll just land in your lap. And like my client, they spent $13,000 on a great system with better energy efficiency. And it would have been the same as them spending $20,000 and getting a $7,000 rebate. And just putting that in perspective, they're very happy, because you know what? They were going to spend the money anyway, but now they're looking at run costs because they're stuck with that equipment for, you know, 20 years, maybe more.
Yeah, Joel, I think that's a great spot to leave it. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the dialogue and the insight. And, I'm already going to say it. I look forward to the next time we chat, you know, something comes up. And
would be very interested. I always enjoy my time here. Brad, you've been such a pleasure. And again, you ever need anything for heat pumps, high performance building, or just a shoulder to cry on when you don't meet your blower door test, give me a call.
Awesome. Joel, thanks so much.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.